Back here in Houston, Radio Row, and again, brought to you by Jiffy Lube, we've got you covered. Jason Lockenfor from CBS Sports joining us. Jason, it's Grant Napier. How are you?
Yes, sir. Thanks for having me. All good. Another day here at the Super Bowl.
Yeah, you know, how many interviews is this for you today?
Not too. You know what? It really hasn't been too crazy. I can't complain.
Yeah? Yeah. Because everybody wants to talk to you.
I don't know about that. I keep a low profile. I kind of keep to my corner over there, and if somebody asked, I'm happy to
do. Oh, you got a little corner, huh? Is that right?
I mean, it's very, it's really not even a corner, but yeah. It's kind of tucked away.
You know, I'm always amazed, you know, from a national perspective, and, you know, everybody's here trying to do the same thing, but not everybody wants to see the same thing. Do you come in with any certain angle that you try to go after when you're covering this?
No, I mean, really, this whole week, it's a lot of hoopla. It's a lot of there's obviously a lot of media commitments for the players, and everybody's talking, but nobody's really saying anything. I mean, if you're coming here to try to, you think you're going to get your story here, you think you're going to get somebody in one of these massive group settings to say something incredibly interesting, it's just tough. You know, it's very homogenized. It's kind of like a cattle call, and it is what it is. I mean, you're kind of serving a higher master here, and it's all part of getting everybody geared up for the game. You know, in the game itself, you always look forward to covering that. I don't get to write that many live columns off of games anymore with the way my job goes.
Sure.
So I look forward to doing this, you know, once a year. And you know, hopefully it's a good game. But my focus is already starting to turn to, you know, what you guys saw in San Francisco and some of these front offices coming together and teams tying up some loose ends. And now really, you know, ready to launch themselves into the offseason. The combine's a few weeks away. And that really starts the offseason preparation.
You mentioned San Francisco. Jed York really surprised the heck out of everybody when we heard that John Lynch was going to be running the front office. Give me your reaction to that.
Oh, I was as surprised as anybody.
But that's Jed.
Yeah.
I guess, you know, I don't know. But
I mean, it's bold. It's outside the box. It's different. And we'll see if it works. We don't even know the composition of the front office yet.
Yeah.
You know, they've got a lot more hires to make. And those are going to be vitally important. We'll see what Kyle's staff looks like. You know, when you come in this late, it's very hard to get that staff the first time around. He might be, you know, patching some things together, but knowing this other guy, I think I can really bring with me, but I got to wait a year till his contract's up or until I could put in a request or what have you. So it's going to take time. I mean,
he's walking into a disaster there. I mean, right? I mean, wouldn't you say so?
They blew their own building up.
That's right.
And this is the third time in 3 years in some capacity. Now this is the first time with the front office and the coaching staff. But it's a lot of people walked away from that job. A lot of people said, hey, you know what? More power to you, but that's not for me right now. And,
right.
You know, so we'll see. Doesn't mean it can't work. Doesn't mean it won't work. But, again, these hires are going to be vital. The more former GMs, the more experienced personnel guys who are in – high-ranking scouting and evaluating positions, the better.
And then Kyle Shanahan, when you look at him as a head coach, again, it's an unknown. We know how he is as a coordinator.
Yes.
So we got two unknowns now coming into this franchise.
Yeah. I mean, these are, you know, two guys who haven't done it at this level before. You know, like you can go back to the Colts and what they did because Ryan Grigson was basically – a field scout for the most part, had just started to really kind of move up the ranks with the Eagles into more of a leader of men organizational type where he may have to take over a draft meeting here or there, but certainly wasn't the final decision maker. And you had Chuck Pagano, who had only been a D coordinator for 1 year. I mean, so that was somewhat outside of the box. But this with Lynch is just, it's a whole nother step in that as smart as he is, as driven as he is, as much as he seems to have an it factor and people gravitate towards him, and clearly he played the game at an incredibly high level, and clearly he's a student of the game, you're asked to have a long and diverse and broad skill set to do the job that he's in. And that only takes time, and it only takes experience, and he doesn't have either right now.
No, I mean, it's unbelievable.
Yeah.
It really is. Jason Lockenfor, CBS Sports. I get it from the Spanos family's perspective and the money, but the Chargers in L.A., is this going to be a disaster? Is this going to be just an awful, bad look for the National Football League? I mean, give me your thoughts on this.
Well,
this is a mess, isn't it?
It could be. It certainly could be. You know, I thought that the league would exert a lot of pressure on Kroenke and Spanos to kind of up the arms race there. And, you know, look, this is
what do you mean by that in that sense?
In their coaching searches, in their vision, in their scope for their franchise. This isn't just about those two franchises. It's about these 32 pieces of pie and how big they are for everyone and the overall revenues. This market, like, this has to work. So when we're talking about an Anthony Lynn and a Sean McVay at a time where, you know, I know Gruden rebuffed the Rams, but keep coming back to them. The Chargers, they thought internally about trading for Sean Payton. Do it. I mean, energize. Get someone in there who has done it before, who it's not a stretch, it's not a hope, it's not a pray. Like, you need to start galvanizing that community. And I mean, just imagine if you had a Sean Payton and a John Gruden, what people would be talking about now. Oh, my goodness. Who's going to get the fans first? And who's going to play the sexier football? And it's just there is no – I mean, I have a lot of friends who live out there, and it's like
– they don't care.
Who are these? Yeah, like,
I know.
Whatever. Like, I'll go to the beach. I mean, right. Call me back when you're good, you know? And I think Sean McVay has the potential to be very good. But, again, that's going to take some time. It just is. And unfortunately for him, he's an offensive guy with no talent other than a running back on the offensive side of the ball.
And then where we are in Sacramento in Northern California, everybody's trying to figure out what's going to happen with the Raiders and that ongoing situation. And I don't know what's going on behind the scenes. I don't know who does. But if you had a crystal ball in front of you, do you still see the Raiders in Vegas?
No.
Because if I had asked you that 4 or 5 days ago, you probably wouldn't have answered it that way.
I wouldn't have answered that decisively. I would have said that I know Mark Davis didn't do himself any favors by – you know, sending Mark Bedain to that meeting and saying $1 a year is what we plan on playing for
right.
our lease. And, yeah, it's basically our stadium. It's not just our stadium for the 2 preseason and the 8 regular season games and the playoff games. It's our stadium. I knew that wasn't going to sit real well with Sheldon Adelson. Now, I thought maybe that somebody there in Oakland would, and I should say within the team in Oakland, would have started building a bridge much quicker, would have immediately jumped on a private plane, flown to Vegas, kissed the ring, and said, how do we make this right? But that didn't happen.
Yeah.
And, you know, I look back on my reporting, and I criticize myself for something, which was I listened to so many people who Mark told, I got a deal, but yet he didn't show it. You know, you didn't see the signatures.
Right.
But, yeah, I've dotted everything, and I'm good with Sheldon. Don't worry, you know, at that last league meeting. And I'm talking, you know, get Jerry Jones and Bob Kraft and
yeah.
high fives.
They're all excited.
Trust me, I got – I'm like, well, you haven't heard that from Sheldon, but okay.
Yeah.
And then he's like, and I got this Goldman Sachs thing.
Oh, boy.
So I'm covered. Well, yeah, you're covered if you still had Adelson or someone of that stature to build – who's physically building the stadium? And now – I'm supposed to believe that somebody else is going to step in and say, we're going to give you that $650 million, knowing that any time Adelson could make a phone call to the union and say, yeah, that project down on the strip,
oh boy,
I don't want any welders there today.
Yeah.
Got it? You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, he runs the city.
So he owns the newspaper.
Right.
I mean, what do you think the columns are going to be? You know what I mean? As he rallied them to give Mark Davis $750 million instead of going to schools
right.
and infrastructure and education and all the houses that are being foreclosed. And now he's like, oh, yeah, there is no deal. And screw Mark Davis. What do you – I mean,
yeah. That's
good,
a bad
good
situation.
Luck coming in there now.
Well, and so now, you know, we still have the situation in Oakland has not changed.
No.
I know Ronnie Lott's group's trying, but, I mean, the point is I don't see a ton of light at the end of the tunnel there, and we all know the Coliseum's a dump, and at some point it's not going to be, you know, now what?
Right. I mean, I talked to some people close to some owners early this week and said how long until he calls San Antonio again. I mean, all that is a stall play.
Sure.
It's a leverage play, but it may be his only play.
San Diego out of the picture?
That's not happening.
No chance,
that's
right?
That's not happening. I mean, I feel sorry for the fans and the media there because it's easy to start connecting those
but
dots.
But it's not happening, right?
Yeah, and that's a fresh wound, so they all get wrapped up. That's not happening. I think the options are he goes back to Oakland and Fortress and really gets invested in getting the best possible deal he can there, I think. Or he finds some other entity, and maybe it's some of his minority owners, the East Coast guys who have big-time money, and allow them to fund that $300 million in exchange for an actual seat at the table and a stake in certain decisions, or there's going to continue to be pressure from Park Avenue to sell the team because they're going to have any number
Absolutely.
Of people who look at that market, who see the infrastructure, who see the tech companies going from Silicon Valley to downtown Oakland and say, this is a sleeping giant.
Why would he not sell part of the team and still be the managing general partner? I don't understand that.
He's been unwilling to give
up.
Yeah,
but why? I mean, he would still be the guy, you know? I don't understand that.
Yeah, I mean, he doesn't want to have a board. He doesn't want to have to answer to a board. He doesn't want to have to run things by two or three other people.
Sounds like Al.
Yeah.
I mean,
but
Al
wasn't built the thing.
I know, but Al wasn't listening to anybody.
Right, right. I mean, you know, look, I mean, could Santa Clara still happen at some point?
Unlikely.
I say unlikely, but I guess it's worth mentioning. But there's going to be a lot of pressure on him now to say, "What? Okay, buddy, we let you try your pie in the sky. Mm-hmm. It didn't work. What is your plan in Oakland? How are you going to make this, from a revenue standpoint, a viable franchise?" And you know, he's sitting there flashing forward to 2019 where he's going to have that stadium in his mind, thinking, well, all the Derek Carr and the Khalil Mack money, yeah, I could pay that now, but I'm getting it back in spades in 3 years. Well, no, you're not.
No, you're not is right. It's a great point. Jason Lockenfors, CBS Sports. Before I let you go, the state of the NFL in 2017, I know it's a broad question. It may require a lengthy answer. But in general terms, the state of the game, the state of the league now is what?
I think it's still strong. I mean, we may look back on, you know, what, the lockout ended in 2009 or 2010. We may look back at 2011 to 2015 as sort of the ultimate salad days, when the league's grip on America was bigger than ever, when the ratings were historically significant, when the money was pouring in hand over fist, and you're adding Thursday night games, and you're expanding. But it's still, I mean, you ask any of the other sport leagues. If you got the NHL commissioner and the Major League Baseball commissioner together and said, if I promised you your combined ratings would equal the NFL's, would you take it? And they'd be like,
in a nutshell.
I mean, we'll see what happens with London. They're going to continue to play games in Mexico City. I'm not sure about the two teams in L.A. thing and how that's going to work out.
Why are they playing so many games in London? I mean, again, I understand.
They want to move a team there.
I just don't get it. I understand the finance. I understand the money. And you can say, well, everything's always done for money. But that's one situation that just doesn't make sense to me. You have eight games. You're taking a team away, and you're playing them over in London. And I don't know. It just doesn't seem very popular over here with our fans.
Yeah, I mean, there's still some logistical hurdles, but they're spending a lot of time, energy, and money, real resources, assets, continuing to study what would a playoff schedule look like with a London-based team. What if London had to play Oakland in the playoffs, and how would we schedule that game, and when would it be, and would we play it at a new – like, that, I'm not making this – like, we think we would play that game at a neutral site in, you know, Chicago or New York.
That's
like,
ridiculous.
But that's how far down the road they are. Yeah. And when Roger Goodell gets his mind set on something,
but can you imagine,
it's hard to convince him that it's not a possibility.
I know. Hey, listen, and I'm not saying you're crazy here, because I agree.
I don't know that it's going to happen, but it won't be without a fight.
No, but can you just imagine a Raider home game, and you're saying, oh, by the way, we're playing this game in Chicago.
No, I'm talking about a playoff game. No. Like, what if London, you know, what if London's in the wild card round, and they're matched up against a team from the AFC West? Logistically,
how would you do that?
Because whoever wins is going to have a super short week. They lose a day and a half traveling back.
Right.
Like, do you play that on a Saturday or Sunday? Do you play that on the middle of the week?
I get you.
Like, this is legitimately what NFL International is studying on a regular basis. So they're going to go pretty far down this rabbit hole before they find out if it's possible or not.
And Mexico City is here to stay. They announced the Raiders and the Patriots this year.
They'll keep it on the calendar.
No doubt, huh?
I think there could be multiple games there at some point. Wouldn't shock me at all.
Because I know, you know, the NBA, I was just down there last year for an NBA game. NBA this year had two games down in Mexico City. So I guess, you know what, sports is truly global, man. We're going everywhere.
It is. And that's the one area the NFL isn't as competitive. They don't have, you know, from a grassroots level, people playing the game and people watching the game. It's not like basketball or baseball or hockey. It's pretty much America's game, and they're trying to change that.
I remember when David Stern came out, and don't hold me to the date, but around the early 90s, and said that the NBA was going to go global, and people laughed at him.
Yeah.
And now here we are, fast forward. Hey, thank you very much.
My pleasure, man.
Jason Lockenfors, CBS Sports, joining us here on Radio Row. We're brought to you by Jiffy Lube. We've got you covered. Coming back with more here on Sports 1140 KHTK.